It's time to go full speed ahead with Michael Kelly. Each week, we take you inside all the big sports stories at USF from the perspective of the man who oversees the program, Vice President of Athletics, Michael Kelly. With today's show, here's your host, Derek Sharp.
And as we welcome in another head coach, just kidding, it's been the show the last couple of weeks. Michael, just for the record, there are no new...
Nope.
We're good.
Job search season is over for the moment. That's good.
The only noise that might be going on around here is actual noise that I think we're pretty well shielded from, but explain, if people can hear beeping in the background that sounds like construction, it's construction.
Yeah, there is absolutely no stopping around here. We got so many great things going. Our facilities crew are just crushing it with projects that just need to be done around the summer. So right, what you hear right now, right outside our deal in the lobby of the Selman Center, we're kind of making some more space in the lobby space. We're painting the facility. We're putting new flooring in. It'll give us a chance to have some more meeting space for our staff, place for congregation for both events and for things there, and just a nice freshening up. And we're getting ready to start the pressure washing and painting of the entire exterior of the Selman Center. So it'll kind of match what kind of started with the Porter Family Indoor Performance Facility, which is kind of a white-gray motif. And we did that at the Corbett. We did that at the baseball and softball. We did it at the track. So now we're doing that here at the Selman Center. So it's going to all be nicely coordinated for this great athletics district that we're building up and getting ready for the main event with the on-campus stadium here soon.
The only people that it might be a little hard on are fine receptionists that put in such great work at the front desk. But I'm sure you get used to the noise.
This has been a tough week for her, Marie downstairs. She's been good, but we actually haven't these first couple days of the week we're not able to accept visitors for the main entrance.
Sure.
Since we're doing that work, you have to head to the student athlete entrance, which is a unique experience in and of itself.
So people get to go through there? Cool.
Sure. It's just great. There's so many different things happening. We're building our, finishing up our beach volleyball locker room. We're making some enhancements to our lacrosse locker room to put some more lockers in there as they get ready for their first season to play. So lots of things happening, as we all well know.
It sounds like I might have picked the best week to move my stuff over to the Movement Center. I just changed my desk location, but it's always great to come over here and pop over here and do a podcast with you. Now, because there is no actual news when it comes to a new coach, we can talk about a variety of things. It's been great to hear you actually introduce both A.J. Newell and Mitch Hannes to Bulls Nation the last couple weeks. But let's actually tail off of that, because the press conference where they officially got introduced to everybody was this past Friday. I thought it was great. I thought not only some of their messages, but it was well attended, and the reception afterwards, it was you made the right call by just their personalities alone, you could tell.
Yeah, great choices, great fits for what we're, not only for USF in general, as they always would have been, but knowing that we're in this time in college athletics and just a really important time for us to succeed and put together. We got so much momentum going on as a university, as an athletic department, and they buy into that vision. They liked it during the process, so that's where, again, it's a two-way street. Hiring's a two-way street, and you want to find fits that understand the vision, understand the urgency of what we're all doing here, and they certainly do, and I think they're excited by it. So, yeah, you're right. On Friday, we had a great media availability for both of them with the local media, and then we're able to introduce them at a reception upstairs with so many of our donors that were able to attend, our athletic department staff, and it was just a classy way for our fans and our friends to welcome them to Team USF. So it was a very nice turnout for a summer Friday afternoon where people tend to start their Father's Day weekend or whatever it might have been, but great turnout. Great people, and just really fun. It was nice to see AJ, ironically, with Father's Day weekend. Her father was there, and he was a big part of her comments, and she's so grateful for what he did for her career so far, and then for Mitch to have his wife Amy able to join us as well was just really nice. So exciting times for sure.
I got to say one thing about what Coach Hannah's his message was. It sounds like old Coach Prada. Had a little bit to do with his decision, or at least helping to secure his decision to join the USF Bulls after being at a place that was his home.
Yeah, I'm really glad you mentioned that, because I hope people realize that coaching searches are very taxing, but they're also very exhilarating, and that you get a chance to meet so many people that have interest in learning more about your program. You get to learn about various people's programs and things that might improve you that you can learn from. Mm. So you got to look at it as a two-way street there, but it's a lot of outreach, a lot of conversations, a lot of meetings, a lot of logistics, and we're fortunate to have a great staff here and Chris Pierce as our Deputy Athletic Director and Chief Operating Officer is usually involved in many aspects of all of our searches and just does a great job. And in this case, in the baseball side, we had a baseball expert in Lalo Prado, which is so helpful in the early stages when you're hearing from literally hundreds of people that are interested in trying to pare them down to a reasonable level. And to have a former coach and a great administrator like Lalo Prado to really focus in on baseball was really huge to advise me. And then even with the golf search that we had, to have a very similar process there. You've got a former player, former golf coach here in Jim Fee to kind of advise us as well on the golf search. So in both cases, just very grateful to Lalo and to Jim Fee and to Chris Pierce in particular for doing so much extra effort, because these are, again, they're all hands on deck for a couple week period of time, and we landed in a great place with AJ and with Mitch.
This is probably, maybe there's nothing to this, but I want to ask the question because I don't know. I mean, obviously, these coaches both had to put together their staffs, their assistants. Is that something that you even are even part of that process, or is it whoever they hire?
Yeah. You know, as we've learned, as things go by, and we've seen it with some of the recent success we've had here in many of our programs, you know, the coaching staff has a lot to do with the success. We know that. And part of our overall evolution here, and at least in my tenure here, has been able to trying to find more resources, find resources and guidance that we that coaches feel make a big difference. And, of course, a lot of that goes into the student-athlete experience. But it also matters in terms of the size and the quality of staff that you can attract. So if you look back to where we were in track before we hired Eric Jenkins, now we've got a much more robust staff, and he's been able to accomplish what he needs to. When you look at to what was important to Coach Golish, we heavily invested in the staff beyond what we had done for previous coaches to allow them to not only bring in who they want, but when you look at the recruiting staffing that we now have, and you look at the strength conditioning staff, just growing it up to where we need to be was so helpful in terms of what was important to Coach Golish. You look at it with Amir Abdurrahim,
absolutely,
with the staff that he has been able to recruit and retain. So all that kind of shows that. So the same thing kind of went into these searches. Certainly golf's a smaller roster, so only so much you can do with the one assistant coach there. But when you look at baseball and trying to adjust to now having three full-time coaches, maybe there's some operations / analytics type positions that exist. And it's each coach kind of had, that we were talking to, kind of had a different approach to it. But again, in this case, we did invest more heavily than we did before, because we know that's an important part in terms of the staffing. As I've gained some experience in this, it's better to have those kind of conversations during the process. So as I'm talking to finalists, I'm like, hey, what do you think you need to have a successful staff that you need to bring? And that way, when I go into it and get to a final situation where we might offer it to someone, you kind of know it's a two-way street here, and we're partners in trying to achieve success.
Well, that's amazing. A lot of points, obviously, you make there about the analytics side, about the recruiting side. It's just its whole own staff, basically, these days. And I know interviewing Amir last week from my show, Bulls Beat, he's very appreciative of the ability to have to be able to promote some people and to add a couple with Luke and Mo Spates, as he did last week.
And in all these cases, Derek, it's adapting, though. What I think the big theme that we'll keep talking is, like, how are we adapting to the current college athletics landscape? And when you have potential turnover all the time related to transfer portals, when you look at needing more staff to really pour through the portal, understand where they might fit it, and evaluating into your program, you know, everything a current player in college sports needs. Sometimes they want the analytics. They want to understand where they might stand in a pro setting. They want to understand how they're going to be utilized very specifically. I mean, when I watch Amir do his, and Coach Golish in particular, when they do their recruiting visits, I mean, the whole sessions of their time might be one-on-one with that player saying, this is how I envision utilizing you. And them being able to ask, that's exactly what I want, or maybe that's not what I want. And that's kind of what it comes. But if they don't want to share that message now, and then us not be happy, because then you might leave, and we've all just wasted a year of time, and who knows what. So it's all about getting that much more modernized, if you will, in terms of being very, very transparent and getting right down to how we can put together a winning team.
That's pretty fascinating. We are going to get to some mailbag questions here. It'll be
Mailbag Monday. I love Mailbag Monday.
Big ticket items and some smaller ticket items. But I do want to ask about one other thing as far as being on campus. We'll save the sort of year in review for next week, maybe, because we haven't had a chance really, even though we've done it throughout the course of the year, to really take stock in everything. And we'll do that next week. But I do understand that, and I don't know how much you get involved with this, or again, do you stay out of their way, but a lot of future new Bulls are coming on campus this week. It's not just an empty campus on summer, right, as far as athletes go?
Yeah, particularly, you know, yesterday was a big day in many sports when seasons open up even to talk to recruits for 26, I guess. So, you know, you saw a lot of – if you saw a lot of posts coming out from a lot of our different coaches.
That now, explains the 2026 thing.
Exactly.
I figured.
So it's the first day in many of these sports that you're allowed to talk to students of that year. So volleyball, for instance, and soccer and – a lot of sports along those lines. That's why, if our listeners were
please explain
inundated with that, that's what was so pertinent about that. And then, and you're right. And we're running into the last couple of days, if you will, when before some serious quiet times come as it relates to recruiting period. So there's a lot of official visits going on, particularly in the sport of football right now, where I think we've got somewhere 20-plus students that have been here in the last couple of days and will be all the way through next weekend. So very, very big time, and we've gotten a handful of good verbal commits that we can't specifically speak to, but obviously it's the momentum continues for Coach Golis and his staff and how hard all of our recruiting team is working to get these official visits done in a first-class manner.
So that's potential future Bulls and actual some of the transfers and freshmen do come in a little bit early, so we get to see a lot of new faces around here and new faces on the construction side of things. If you can hear the beeping behind us, but again, that's all good stuff. All right, let's hit the mailbag up. Do we go in order of seriousness to light, or does it matter? Do you just throw a match?
Hey, just let's go.
All right, here we go.
How they came to you on X, I guess.
Yes, at Derek Sharp, DarekSharp. SoFlo wants to know, and you knew this was coming, when can we expect to see more renderings? Not just general renderings, but, of course, the on-campus stadium.
Well, as I explained at a recent, not recent, but at the last chance we had a chance to update the board on it, it's a when we went through that change, when we went from a design build to a construction manager at risk process, it allowed us to go deeper and start to not redo it by any means with Populous, but to start to get more defined and kind of had a little bit of a pause there. So it's work continues in a very diligent manner. I would expect no specific date in mind, but certainly as we get ready toward that, we know the groundbreaking is going to be on October 18th.
Yeah.
So you know there's going to be some good things coming out then, and it's a matter of how many other good things come out before that, because when you get ready to break ground on a new facility, what we did break out during spring, the week of the spring game, is we obviously went updated some daytime versions of the facilities, and you get a little bit more of a view of the overall athletic district at that time. So just know, I would just work back knowing, as we are, because we don't have a set date in mind when we release them, but if October 18th is the official celebration and groundbreaking day, knowing there's going to be some things there, and it's just a matter of how many things we can release and be in position to be ready for that day and then the eventual sale of some premium product coming out off of that groundbreaking.
Well, just a stray idea, and goodness knows we have so many actual creative people on the creative side here that put things out on social media, but if you guys that are listening want to actually do your own renderings and just throw them our way, and I don't know if you're much of an artist, Michael, as far as arts and crafts and drawing, I am terrible at it, but do you ever dabble at what you think this area could look like or anything like that? I think you should share that.
I'm terrible at drawing. I use some different AI stuff to create things to see if the vision would match when we talk to our designers.
Good.
And things of that nature, but it's you know what, a lot of it's been when we look at the operations building, how can we make things very efficient and very modernized for our student athletes to utilize that? How do you maximize the opportunity for nutrition, rest, recovery, and having some of the best facilities that we could possibly have there? How do we look at renovating the Selman Center to modernize that whole thing as that goes simultaneous to the what's happening at the on-campus stadium? So there's just a lot of design work going on. And then really, as we kind of fine-tuned our budget and make sure we can, we just have been reticent to turn out anything that we don't yet know if we can afford. We want to make sure that what we deliver and project to our fan base that we deliver, and it's going to be coming out, and that's obviously coming really soon with this groundbreaking.
I'd venture to tell you folks that maybe the operations center, which is going to be a year before the stadium, is just as important as the renderings on the on-campus stadium, because that stuff is what the student athletes use on a day-to-day basis. All right, here's another big ticket issue that I never ask you about, so I'm going to thank Bases on Bulls for tossing it your way. How do you feel about USF's readiness for conference realignment? In a word, to come to that.
Well, that's a good question, one we hear a lot. I feel very, very good about it, and here's why. And it's less maybe, as things have changed, it's probably less about any particular conference realignment, because when you look at, hey, there's now what's called the P4 or the P2 or what have you, or doesn't really matter what label you want to put on things. The recent House settlement, the House case settlement that is going to provide even more opportunity for benefits for student athletes has opened up a whole new world of permissiveness, whether it's revenue sharing, whether it's additional NIL opportunities, more involvement with my staff directly with student athletes and with prospects and things of that nature. So all that's being kind of uncovered all at the same time.
So
what I'm here to tell you is during the 5 years I've been here, you know, our budget has increased dramatically to keep up with what we need to provide student athletes and to obviously build ourselves to be able to put ourselves in a position to be at the top layer of college sports. So whether that means another conference, whether that means being ready for college football playoff opportunities, which is happening right away, whether it means being, if Division I changes in any way, and that's really where more of my focus is right now. Mm-hmm. As Division I is going through, when we had the transformation committee, when we've now had some things that they talked about with the House settlement, you know, whatever happens in these next couple of months about where do we need to be at the top tier of Division I, that's where USF needs to be. And so when we work hard on our development resources, when I got here, we had a $50 million budget. This past year, we just finished an $85 million budget.
Wow.
There's not many athletic departments that have had that kind of increase over a five-year period of time. When cost of attendance came available, USF answered the bell for our student athletes. When pretty much unlimited food and upgraded nutrition became a possibility for USF student athletes, we've never had it better than what we have right now for the nutrition and adding full-time nutrition staff and everything else. When the Austin money became possibility for academic awards and incentives for student athletes to increase their benefits in that regard, to basically pay them up to $6,000 a year if they reach certain academic benchmarks, USF answered that call. We did that. We're the only team in the American that does that.
Wow.
There's a lot of P4 schools that don't do that. So I guess I just say to the overall question, we are keeping up and adapting to everything that we learn and see in real time to be able to ensure that we do everything we can to live up to whatever it's going to take to be on the right side of the fault line of Division I athletics. So we already are a P4 program in terms of what we're providing resources. Now that has to go hand in hand with not only the university is supporting us, we have great generous support from donors and supporters. We need that to continue, and we need that to grow, because the only way we can grow it, the limitations come, and the only way we can grow it is by growing our fan base and the support that we get. So I feel very good about our position to answer your question. We've answered the bell for every step and new opportunities that's arisen so far. Now it's an exciting time with the kind of success that we had this year in many sports is to, man, how do we put it all together in these next year or two to really be, when any of these conferences look for an additional member, that we're kind of the no-brainer to do that. But in the meantime, we need to be, as Coach Jenkins says, we need to be the man where we stand. How do we make sure we step up and challenge for just about every American championship we can play in, move on to NCAA competition, and make sure that we stand up? Because, hey, if we're an AAU institution, that's a huge feather in our cap.
About that. Okay.
The Tampa Bay market being number 11 in the country, so everyone wants to come here. University's flourishing with number of people graduating and number of people coming into school here. And we've now won, what, over 145 conference championships and had a very successful year top to bottom. So we got to stack some of these successful years back to back. But rest assured, our student athletes don't want for anything around here anymore. We've worked very hard to give them top notch. And as we said, not only to be able to be ready for, we're looking at not only being at the top of the American in what we provide, but we're looking years down the road where we can already benchmark as to where we would be if we were in the Big Ten, SEC, ACC, Big 12, wherever we are, where would we stand at that time? Because that's going to require additional investment. So rest assured, back to answering the question, it's like we feel good about where we are in the American right now, but that's been a big increase from where we were. When I got here, we were probably certainly in the bottom half of the American in terms of resources. We're now in the top third, top two or three in almost every sport. And we have to do that, and then we also have to look down the line to any of those four conferences we might potentially join in the future, that we would be well prepared for that, because you need to be ready not only for what you're investing now, but for the future. And when you look at the whole D1 landscape, it's really more a matter of being a major player in D1 at this point and adjusting to every new opportunity that comes out, and then living within your means at that point in time. We want to provide the best we can and be as creative as we can to provide the package that a young man or woman would want to come to USF. And as I said again, if you've got the full scholarships that you can get, if you've got the full maximum Austin money, the food, all the resources that you need, NIL opportunities galore, that's the other thing we're doing. We're modernizing. We can talk about this at a whole other deal.
Sure.
This year we're adding four new staff members this summer just to focus on NIL opportunities and the strategy behind that in terms of being very modern and being we've really studied the landscape. We've kind of studied it in our own right and to know we got to put resources to, again, make sure that a young man or woman that comes to USF is going to say, man, they provide me the scholarship, the food, the money, the Austin money, the cost of attendance, and I got this NIL opportunity that's structured more like a true GM type of atmosphere, like a professional team almost would be. They're like, USF's where it's at.
Two things. Good answer. Excellent answer. And I do have enough microphones if you want to get all those NIL new staff in here for a future episode.
There you go.
You mentioned the conference championships and the P4, and I think it feeds into this question, Josh, because we know that men's basketball won the conference championship. And if they did what they did and what they were on the court, were in a P4, they're probably in the NCAA tournament. But we know why they weren't. And so Josh asks, with so much focus on scheduling and how it relates to your quote-unquote ranking, which is the metrics, the RPI and the NIP,
right. Are
we looking to adjust our out-of-conference scheduling? Now, I'll start off the answer by saying a lot of programs are already on that. Jose Fernandez's comes to mind. Ken Erickson's comes to mind. But I'm sure he's thinking about men's basketball there.
Yeah, we have a lot of good examples here in our program that we all schedule very aggressively, not only for – because that's what our students want to play and our coaches want to play, but that and what our fans want to see, and that helps us be more marketable and help us want to get more ticket buyers and everything else. But at the end of the day, you need it to make sure that your strength of schedule and all those related metrics are at the top of what they can be. Now, it's usually not a desire. It's not like a desire to get those games. Sometimes it's a matter of people willing to play you. And I would say to you that in the case of men's basketball, there was probably teams that were unwilling to play us last year when the schedules were being developed because our RPI was, our net was probably too low.
Makes sense. They didn't want
to play us. Now with the success we had, there's probably a lot that don't want to play us
because
we very well might have a chance to get you on that given night. So it's a give and take, but we are being very mindful of how to make sure our RPI is scheduled that way. And I would dare suggest that, again, of course, you've got to go win those games. Had we not tripped up when we were just getting our team together last year against Central Michigan, Maine probably,
yeah.
I bet you win those two games, we wouldn't have had the problem anyway. So it wasn't so much the strength of schedule. It was kind of losing two tough games that you really can't afford to lose.
Right.
But anyways, we are working very aggressively on it, not only just for now, but for the future of what our team was. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll kind of have our schedule is solidified. But again, we still play when you win against Florida State, when you win against Northern Iowa, when you Loyola of Chicago.
Absolutely.
We didn't play any cupcake schedule, but we did lose some games that probably bit us at the end.
As I'm thinking of it, soccer always schedules strong too, and I think the first regular season game will be women's soccer hosting FSU, which is the national champs.
Yeah, schedule the national champs on game one.
Pretty good on that. Good luck, Coach Chris Brown. All right, now this is the lightest hearted one as we start to wrap it up here. And this is from Stieg, who, as you know, fantastic.
I sat next to Stieg at the we are grateful to Stieg because he was a media member that actually went all the way to Fort Worth this year. He was the one that made the trip out there, and I had the opportunity to sit next to him, so I appreciate his support.
Is he as handsome in person as he is, on the social media?
He was very striking.
Very, very striking. Much, especially that mustache. Now, he wants to know, in your opinion, who has the best Cuban sandwich in Tampa?
Well,
it's a tough question.
The good news is when you're in Tampa, there's not a bad Cuban sandwich, so that's the good thing.
Pretty true.
I enjoy the Cuban sandwich. You know, it's not only because I'm friends with the family and what they do for university, but I always, when I go to the Columbia, I basically get my sandwich and soup combo because I like to get the
Spanish bean, right?
Well, I like to get my 1905 salad and then get the Cuban sandwich from the Columbia, so I enjoy that. And I usually like to get a little order of beef empanadas beforehand as well. So I'm rolling with the Columbia, but I know there's a lot of other good ones out there, but that's the one I taste the most.
That's fantastic. I like the West Tampa Sandwich Shop. It's old school, and they have the special, the Honey Cuban. Trust me, you got to try it if you ever get a chance.
No, I have not tried the Honey Cuban.
I would
probably enjoy that.
Pretty nice. All right, so speaking of that, Father's Day, I know you had a great time. Did you get to enjoy any special meal when it came to that? I did. We went to my spot in Plant City smoking Aces Barbecue. My buddy Robert.
Fantastic. Nice.
Best wings. But
that's
what
good.
Did you get?
Well, let's see what I did. We had my family ordered me up some Lou Minotti's deep dish pizza that came in frozen. So we had that one night.
Nice.
Let's see. I had some New York pizza on another night.
Okay.
But But anyways, my main gifts were some great gift certificates to Outback. What's my place called? Then I had some Little Debbie snack cakes, zebra cakes that were given to me by my one daughter. She knows my sweet tooth in that regard. And then Bonefish Grill, which I enjoy when I head over to the beach.
So. What ingredients do you like on your pizza, toppings-wise?
I'm mostly a pepperoni guy.
Same, yeah.
My one daughter is vegetarian, so we go with cheese a lot just to be plain. But I've always loved pepperoni. It's a big, big deal for me. When I go to Bonefish, I get the Caesar salad and the Bang Bang shrimp. It's kind of a no-brainer.
Everyone has copied Bang Bang shrimp. They call it. I know. It's always the same word twice, but you know where
good,
it came
but they're
from.
They're not as good.
Yeah, it's
Bang
like
Bang's the best.
Coming up with a new year besides 1905 to make your special salad. People, hopefully, you know, because I'm a big, you know, Plant City guy, strawberry, that I haven't tried it yet, but at Publix they had Swiss cake rolls with strawberry in the filling, so.
Is that right? I've had that before.
Make
very
the
good.
Plunge.
Very good.
Make
but
the plunge.
I did not see them during Father's Day weekend. I went to see Bad Boys 2 or 3 or 4, whatever it was, but I went to the new Bad Boys for a Saturday matinee with my daughters. That was my treat out
Damn
this
it.
Weekend.
Going to an actual movie theater. It's a novel concept.
The new NCG Theater in Citrus Park was a nice new place to try out. It was
All
good.
Right.
It was good.
So as we wrap it up, take it into the possibility of a couple days off, and do you have a vacation planned?
You know what? We center our vacations around being with family. So we spend 1 week, usually 4th of July. It'll be 4th of July week with family in Wrightsville Beach, North Carolina, near where my wife's from. And then I always like to go to Ocean City, Maryland during my birthday week later in the month of July and see my side of the family up there. So
that's awesome.
Just really nice places, a little bit different. I mean, I know we already live by the beach, so it's kind of funny we would go to the beach, but I think every beach town has a little bit of a unique feel to it, and Maryland's a little bit cooler than Tampa in the summertime, so that's a nice treat, too.
I'll be doing the same thing. My actual brother lives in North Kentucky, so it's nice, Louisville, and I don't care, it won't be 100 degrees, and then some extended family in upstate New York, which I'm really looking forward to, the Finger Lakes.
That'll be nice.
We'll work our way around that and get future episodes done.
Is it not amazing that Tampa has never hit 100 degrees before?
Feels like it has.
I know, but how about that?
It really hasn't?
It has never hit.
We're getting there.
I saw it was like 99 on my car readout the other day, but it's not hit 100.
Paul Delgado will be the first to let us know. I have a feeling it's going to happen the way it started. Hey, this was a hot show. Thank you very much.
It was a hot show. I like mailbag episodes.
That's great.
Let's bring it next time.
Let's do it. We'll give people a little bit more heads up, but I think the questions and answers are great. Any final comments here?
No, just grateful for everyone listening. Hope everyone's going to be able to have some time with their families and friends this summer, especially surrounding the July 4th holiday. Obviously, this week with the Juneteenth holiday, a lot of things happening, and just feel blessed to be a part of leading Bulls Nation with you guys, and appreciate all your support. Go Bulls!